Zaffer presents Angel's Wish, written by Sheila Newbery and read by Ruth Sillars. I stood and stared. The sky was lit. The sky was stars all over it. I stood, I knew not why, without a wish, without a will. I stood upon that silent hill and stared into the sky until my eyes were blind with stars, and still I stared into the sky. Ralph Hodgson. Chapter 1. Angel stood there still, with the dust stirred by the solid tyres of the Royway motorbus, powdering the shine from her smart shoes. She glanced down indifferently. 7 years ago, after all, she had been wearing boots cracked and caked with foul mud from the ruined fields of France. The bus was by now out of sight, having rounded the bend, but Angel could hear it rumbling ponderously on towards the next village. "Well, Angelina Rosselli, do you intend to take root here?" she mused aloud. Then she smiled faintly at the irony of her words. She was a slight young woman, of medium height, dressed in a light tussore costume, the skirt badly crumpled by a stout fellow passenger who had sat down heavily beside her, having boarded the train at Ipswich. A round, natural straw hat just afforded a glimpse of short, glossy, great black hair that curved against the line of her firm, up-tilted chin. Her eyes, narrowed against the flurry of dirt thrown up from the country lane and the relentless afternoon sun, were surprisingly blue, under distinctive brows. Angel's gloved hands, soiled from wrestling with the recalcitrant sash of the train window, gripped the handles of her heavy basket case. She had tucked her fat handbag under one arm. "Thank goodness," she thought, "I had the sense to leave the trunk at the station to await collection by Mr. MacDonald." Angel had yet to meet her new employer, Robert MacDonald of the Angel. For a mutual friend, his neighbour Edith Fenner, had recommended her for this temporary post, duration uncertain, as companion come nurse to his daughter Alice, convalescing after scarlet fever and a subsequent operation from asteroid. In the one brief letter she had received, Mr. MacDonald said she would be met from the bus. However, bags packed, impatient to leave London, and her sister Louise and her brother-in-law Jack, she had come a day early. What was it the friendly, red-faced driver had advised?
"Follow the roses on your right. Keep a-going till you come to Mrs. Newsome's shop, then fork you sharp. Mind the gully in front of the meadow. See the pink house with the pargeton. Then you'll come to the Angel. Quite a walk uphill on a Thursday night, that is. But that Scotsman do draw fine beer."
So Angel obediently followed the briar hedge, festooned with tiny roses, for it was June, in shades from deepest to palest creamy pink, each with its golden centre. She couldn't resist plucking a single bloom to tuck in her hatband. Despite the weight of her case, she hurried along, brushing against the tall, graceful grasses, averting her gaze from the scarlet poppies, which also flourished everywhere. There were poppies in France, they said. The seed, which had lain dormant for many years, had sprung to life where men had fallen, having advanced, retreated, then advanced again, over and over the same desolate stretch of land. She must put those memories away, the nightmare that had almost broken her, begin really living again, looking forward now to the future. That was really what had prompted her to come to rural Suffolk, not just Edith's urging. Could they really resume their friendship after so long? Her sister and her husband had accompanied Angel, unasked, to Liverpool Street Station. "Write soon, Angel. Oh, promise," Louise entreated. Angel nodded, seeing Lou's hands linked so naturally, supporting the heavy swelling of her body. She witnessed that instinctive bonding with the unborn, and pain gnawed at her own insides. Jack's arm lay protectively around Lou's shoulders. He had survived the conflict. He may now have a steel plate in his skull and a nervous hesitancy in his speech, yet...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?